Welcome to the Sunday morning podcast from Kingdom Faith Church in Worthing.
Good morning, everybody. It is so good to be with you all today. So I'm John. I'm the pastor at Trafalgar Road Baptist Church. Been there a couple of years now. I'm married to Rach. We've got three young children, 7, 4, and just about to be one. And like Colin said, Colin's a great friend of mine, as is Clive as well, who we're praying for, who's away today. Colin came to Trafalgar Road Baptist Church last year to speak because I was in the hospital with my wife, you know, with Theo being born. And I remember watching Colin's sermon. Literally, he was there on a hospital bed, you know, while I'm holding Rachel's hand, I'm like listening to Colin as well. So it's a pleasure to be with you all today and to return that favour as well. Today's message is for everyone, but I sense strongly as I was coming here today that God wants to speak to those particularly who have been long-suffering, those who have been in the darkest valley for quite some time. And so I just want to say, open your hearts today. Let's all open our hearts and receive what God wants to say. The reason I'm standing here today is because Jesus utterly changed my life. Utterly changed my life. And when he did so, I experienced what it meant to be chosen in Christ. Yeah. The message today is that we are chosen to be in relationship and chosen to be fruitful in Christ Jesus. Let me first tell you my story and then we'll go into the Bible. I grew up in a Christian household, but my parents became Christians when in their 20s. And so when I was growing up, I always got this message of, we believe it, but you've got to make your own mind up. And I found myself on this kind of like mystery journey of, well, okay, is God actually real then? I've got to like work it out. And I went to church and I loved it. I loved hearing about Jesus. I loved hearing about Jesus. Like, if you're ever discouraged in sharing your faith, just tell them something about Jesus, because Jesus is so amazing. I loved hearing about him when I was a kid. But I never really understood what it meant to be a Christian. Until I went to a school fair, you know the ones, where you get broken toys for 10p and books with pages missing, that sort of thing. And I found on one of these tables a little Bible, one like this. Well, it was this one. This was the exact one I found. And it was 50p. And I thought, oh, that's a bargain. I think Bibles are normally quite expensive. And so I bought this for 50p, took it home that night, and I read from it. I read from John chapter 1, which said, yet to those who receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. And my jaw dropped. I thought, is it that simple? Is it actually that simple? That I just have to receive, like, let Jesus in and believe what he's done for me. Is that what makes you a Christian? And I went downstairs to my dad and I said, Dad, how do you become a Christian? I've read this. And there in the kitchen, I made some promises with my dad. Like, do you believe that Jesus died for you for your sins and rose to give you eternal life? Do you promise to follow him for the rest of your life? And I said, yes, I do. And he said, you are now a child of God. And he gave me this hug. And something happened to me when he hugged me. My dad's a hugger. I'm a hugger. I love hugging. But I experienced there a love that I'd never felt before. It was a love, not from my dad, but from my heavenly dad.
That's right.
And I just started crying. It was the first moment that I was filled with the Holy Spirit. That night, I had the worst nightmare of my life. I dreamt that I was running down the stairs, being chased by like a monster. When you're 9, this is utterly terrifying. And I went into this room in our house, which has got a glass door, hid under a table. This monster came in, went round 1, 2, 3 corners of the table. I then hopped out through the door, closed the door and looked through it at this monster that was in there. And it was black, stocky, huge, and it had eyes like fire. I remember looking into those eyes and I woke up bang on 2 o'clock. And I was bolt upright in my bed. I was sweating, you know, all over, caked in it. And for some reason, I remembered a prayer in that moment that my mum had taught me. I don't know why she taught me this prayer, but I'm pleased she did. I said, I rebuke the devil in the name of Jesus. And when I prayed that, my head hit the pillow, fell asleep, had a great night's sleep, and I've not had a nightmare since that night.
Glory, glory.
A couple of weeks later, I was tidying my wardrobe because my mum had told me to. I wasn't, you know, that good a kid. And I was reaching around these drawers and I found this wooden plaque, and it's coming up on the screen, and it says, Jonathan, God is gracious, which is the meaning of my name. And then underneath that, it's got a verse. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. John 1, verse 12. My jaw dropped to the floor. I went downstairs. I said, Mum, where did this come from? Like, this is the verse that I read that led me to become a Christian. And she said, I don't remember. I don't remember. Later, she remembered, we gave that to you when you were just a baby. And it had fallen down the back. I'd never seen it before. And yet I found it after I became a Christian. And for me, that was the first time that I understood that God has got a plan and a purpose for my life, and he has chosen me.
That's right.
And it's this message that I want to get across to us today, that we are all chosen by God.
Amen.
I am not special. We have been made special together through Christ.
Yeah.
We are chosen. So that's what I want to focus on today. And the reason this is so important is because you are highly desired. You may not always feel like that, but you really are. We haven't got to look far to find that you are highly desired. We have social media that says, I choose you. I will give you significance to be heard and seen. You just need to post stuff and get likes and shares, and you'll experience being chosen by me. We have the entertainment industry saying, I choose you. I will make you laugh and occupy your imagination. That feeling of being entertained will make you feel chosen. And I could go on, couldn't I? Sports teams, careers, money, sex, sexuality, power, all these things want you to feel chosen, like you belong. They all want you to build your identity around those things, because that's what being chosen means. But with Jesus, there is a big difference. And it's a good difference. And that difference brings us real peace like nothing else can. That difference brings us real purpose like nothing else can. And it's never ending. Your Disney Plus subscription will end at some point. This subscription will not. Let's pray.
Amen.
Father God, whether we're hearing about this for the first time or the 100th time, I pray that we'd hear together what it means to be chosen in Christ. And Lord, that we would find you today, that we'd all just take your hand, and that we'd know that you are our Father God, our Heavenly Dad, who chooses us and loves us. Amen.
Amen.
So we're going to look at what it means to be chosen in Christ. You see how I said that in three parts? What it means to be chosen in Christ. And I like to work through things backwards often, so we're going to start with in Christ, first of all. If you've got your Bibles, I hope you've all got Bibles.
Yes.
It would be wonderful if Colin and Clive could look and see a huge sea of Bibles being brought out, not just relying on the screen. So bring out your Bibles if you got them, in, you know, your proper book Bibles, or maybe on your phone, and please turn to 1 John chapter 4. And that sound of pages being flicked is such a hallowed sound. It's beautiful. I love that Bible. You can't replace it with anything. 1 John chapter 4, near the back. And we're going to look at verses 13 to 15 to start with. He says, this is how we know that we live in him and he in us. He's given us of his Spirit. And we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Saviour of the world. Amen. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. Amen. Now, the context of this passage John is writing at a time when loads of rogue preachers who fancy themselves a bit are going around different churches and spreading a lot of confusion, teaching that doesn't quite fit with the other about the good news of Jesus. And so John here is trying to bring clarity. Goodness me, we all want clarity, don't we? So let's receive some of that clarity today. John uses this very simple language. When you become a Christian, you live in God and God lives in you.
That's right.
Let me illustrate that through a story. I was swimming at the pavilions here in Horsham, and when I was swimming in the lane, there was this guy coming the opposite way, and his arm just came out like this and just whacked my arm. It really hurt. I had to stop, and I was like, you know, in the water, you know. And then I came up, and he had stopped, and he was like, I'm so sorry. I was pleased he did that, because they don't always do that. But anyway, we kept swimming, and there came a moment where we kind of met at the end, and he just said, again, I'm so sorry, I didn't mean to. And he just started talking to me. We got into this conversation about why he loves swimming. And in these moments, I often start praying, Lord, help me to share the gospel with this guy in some way. How on earth do I share a conversation with him about you in a swimming pool? And the moment that I prayed that, just something about this verse popped into my head. He was sharing about how it's important for him, you know, swimming, that his kids learn how to swim, et cetera, et cetera. And I, at some point, replied, actually, being in a swimming pool is special for me for a different reason. Because, you see, I'm a Christian, and I believe that being in the swimming pool is a bit like being in God. And when you're in a swimming pool, they can't run away, or very fast anyway. I said this, and I said, yeah, it reminds me that actually, you know, because of Jesus, I can be in God. Without Jesus, I cannot get into the pool. I cannot get into God. But because of what Jesus has done for me, I can be in God and he in me. And I shared more of the gospel with him. This then led to a 20-minute conversation. Yes, I was getting a bit cold. 20-minute conversation about life and faith. And it turned out that his mum gave her life to Jesus on her deathbed. He's a geologist, and he was convinced that the universe started somewhere. And I just said, can I pray for you? And he was like, yes. And then the weirdest thing happened. In the lane next to me, this guy pops out and goes, can I join in? And I said, who are you? He was a Christian that had been listening to our conversation as he'd been bobbing up and down, swimming in the other lane. And then when he heard me say, can I pray for you? He was like, right, I'm getting involved in this now. And he laid hands on this guy too. I was like, what church do you go to? Oh yeah, that one's all right. Yeah, okay. I said that. And we laid hands on this guy in the swimming pool and prayed that he'd know Christ. And let me tell you, you can share Jesus anywhere, all right? You can share Jesus anywhere. It's wonderful. It's wonderful. So you can imagine God being like a swimming pool. And it's only because of Jesus that we can come near to him and enjoy relationship with him, like jumping into a swimming pool. That's one way of understanding it. But that's just part of the good news, because the other part of the good news that John shares is that God lives in you. You are in Christ and Christ is in us. And do you know, that should make us go, wow, wow. Colin shared before about the Ark of the Covenant. And people hearing this, particularly the Jews, would have been having that in mind. And if you know your Old Testament and you've read about the temple, we've got a picture of the temple coming up on the screen. This is Solomon's temple. You'll know that this is the place that God lived. This was God's dwelling place. And you didn't just wander in there to have a chat with God. Only certain people could. You can see at the back there, the most holy place. That is the place where God's very presence was, where the priests went in. This was where God's dwelling place was. It's where the ark was. And it was dangerous. People expected to die if they came into contact with the holy presence of God. Why? Not because God is unloving, but because he's so flipping powerful. It's like putting paper in fire. So hear this phrase. To hear this phrase, imagine someone receiving this letter with this in their mind and hearing this phrase, God lives in us, that's astonishing. And it's because Jesus makes us pure and holy for God to say, yes, I can come and dwell in you and it's safe. Still dangerous, but it's safe for you. Because Jesus has made us pure and holy. We can live in God and God can live in us. It's a relationship. And the reason it's a relationship is because of Jesus, God's wrath, his wrath against sin, is no longer directed towards us. Instead, we live under the grace of God. And like I said, we don't need to worry about God, this dangerous, you know, fire of God living in us. We don't need to worry about it because actually, as I've shared just now in my testimony, when God comes into our lives, we experience his kindness. His kindness. Isn't it amazing that we have a God of fire and power, but also a God of love and kindness? It's good news. Jesus said, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened. Who's feeling weary and burdened today? And I will give you rest. Oh, he didn't say fire or danger or anything like that. Rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me. There's the relationship. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart. This is who Jesus is. And if you've ever been told anything different, hear the words of Jesus today. I am gentle and humble in heart. That's his attitude towards you. That's his character, his nature towards you, to all who come to him. If you've said yes to Jesus in some small way or big way, this is what he says to you. I'm gentle and humble in heart. So perhaps you could ask yourself this morning, am I living in God? Have I invited God to live in me? Do I want to know that kindness of God? So that's about being in Christ. So working back through the sentence again, here's that word chosen. What does it mean to be chosen in Christ? And so for this, we'll need to flick back in our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 1, verses 3 to 8. Ephesians 1, verses 3 to 8. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us. He's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ in accordance with his pleasure and will. To the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him, we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us. Amen. So, what is Paul saying here? Let me say that when you're reading your Bible, it is very easy for us English folk to get distracted by individual words, okay? Sometimes they're important and we need to go deep. They're always important, in fact. You need to go deeper into them. But you also need to remember, when you look at these individual words, is to remember the context, the overall message of what you're reading here. Don't just read verses by themselves. Read them in context of the rest of God's word. Because there you find, this is the heart of what Paul is saying here. You know, because there is an important conversation around the word predestined. But the point of what Paul is saying here, he's saying, we did not choose God. That's the basic message of what he's saying here. We did not choose God. In the Greek or Roman religions at the time, which were very, very popular, you chose which God you wanted to please according to your needs. But Paul says that Jesus is not like that. He's not like another one of these gods that you just go to for something, that you choose. Not only is he only true God, which is what he talks about in this passage, but he did something to demonstrate that he chose us first. Yeah. It wasn't anything we earned ourselves or something that we did for him to give us his forgiveness. It's not like we, you know, pleased him and so he gave it to us. He chose to do it. He chose us. Why? Because he loves us. That's why he goes on so much about the grace of God that he lavished on us, because he loves us. That's what Paul is trying to get across. We need to understand that God is sovereign and the only God. We need to understand that he's a gracious and loving God, not a God of wrath who is expecting us to earn his blessings somehow. Why do we need to understand this? Because the whole point of why Jesus came, the whole point was so that, that each of us, all of us together, could be in right relationship with God. That's the whole point. Jesus came to give us peace. Shalom is the word. Perfect peace. The peace of God. The peace that this world cannot give you. In Psalm 103, it says, as far as the east, stretch out your hand with me. I know this is west for you, but and no, I'll do it with you, right? This is east this way, isn't it? As far as the east is from the west, that's how far he's removed our transgressions from us. Now, some of you, keep your arms up there. Some of you might ask, well, how far is that? How far is the east from the west? Let me tell you, it's as far as one scarred hand to another.
Amen.
You can put your arms down now. That is how far God would go to show his love for you. And it's something that he chose to do. In his great mercy and love, Jesus came as God with us, Emmanuel. He chose to die on a cross so that our debt of sin that we can never pay can be paid. God chose to raise Jesus from the dead, showing that it was his will. He chooses you to be raised with him, to have new life now and forever with him. He chose that. None of us chose that. We did not choose him. He chose to display his mercy and love to show us who he is.
Thank you, Father.
Now, if you were a Jew hearing this for the first time, it may not be too surprising. Because in Deuteronomy 7, you know that God chose Israel as his most treasured possession. This language of being chosen is very much a Jewish phrase. It might have been a shock to hear John saying, and Paul saying, for both Jew and Gentile, all are chosen for those who are in Christ. All who are in Christ are now God's chosen treasured possession. That might be a bit of a shock. But this might have been a harder message for the new converts in Ephesus to understand. Remember, this is the book of Ephesians. He's writing to the church in Ephesus. And in Ephesus, all around them, they would have been used to a culture of worshipping a god called Artemis. Artemis was on all of their coins. Ephesus was the home of one of the seven wonders of the ancient world, which was the temple of Artemis. In the streets, there would have been sellers selling idols, statues of Artemis for you to choose, take home, and please. Because Artemis was the goddess of hunting and fertility. So if you wanted food and you wanted children, you needed to please Artemis. This was the culture in which Paul is writing here. We have to understand that. There were festivals and games held in her honour. You cannot avoid Artemis. So imagine if you were part of this culture, you'd grown up in this culture. You perhaps were a former Artemis worshipper and you now come into the church and you heard about Jesus, you saw miracles. Your number one question is probably, okay, so how can I gain the favour of this Jesus? Because that's what I've been doing my whole life with Artemis. How can I gain the favour of Jesus? And I wonder if we also find ourselves asking that question. How can I make God pleased with me? How can I gain God's favour? Do we do that? And Paul turns and says, it doesn't work that way round. He chose you. God chose you to be adopted into his family. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. It was God's decision to come and get you. You're not deciding to go and get him. He came for you. And now you belong to God's family. But maybe you still ask, okay, but how do I know that? How do I know that? Paul goes on in verse 13. If you've still got your Bibles open, well done. He says in verse 13, when you believed, you were marked with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance. And this goes back to being in Christ. We know that we are in Christ because the Holy Spirit lives in us and is at work in our lives. We know we are chosen and part of God's family because of the presence of the Holy Spirit in our lives. And we see the Spirit working in our lives by spending time with God and obeying his word, but also by coming together like this, being in church, seeing him work in other people. It's encouraging, isn't it? Yeah. I remember when I was at university and I went to the Christian Union. We had a great time. But when you go to university, hands up who's been to university here. Okay, not too many people. But when you go to university, something happens. When you're a teenager, when you're 18-year-old, teenager, something happens where you're like, oh, I can be anyone I want. I could put on a different accent. I'm free from my parents. I can do whatever I want. I can go out. I can stay up all night. This happens all the time, every year. And there was this one guy that I knew called Ian, not a Christian, on my course, and he did that. He went the whole hog. He was drunk all the time. And I don't know what else he was doing, but he was also sleeping around and he was a mess. By the end of the first year, you should have seen him. He was utter mess, like his face, like it's difficult to describe how haggard and lost he looked and how he was. And then he met my friend Lucy, who was part of the Christian Union, and he quite liked Lucy. And he and Lucy got on quite well. And she led him to Jesus. And I'll never forget the first time that I saw him after he came to Christ. It was at Christian Union. I remember looking across the room and I was thinking, is that Ian? There was such a physical change about him. There was a peace about him. There wasn't this like twitchiness or like looking around. He was just standing there, smiling, looking around. He had physically changed. The Holy Spirit had changed him in such a way that the peace of God reigned in his heart and through his body. Amen. It was utterly amazing to see the deposit, the seal of the Holy Spirit on this man's life. It's wonderful. This is what we should be praying for and looking for each and every day. And actually, it happened last Sunday as well. Someone came up to me in my church, I won't say who they are, but they came up to me and they looked different. I'd been pastoring them and helping them for a while and they looked different. They were smiling and I was like, are you okay? And they were like, I want to recommit my life to Jesus. I was like, do you know what? I can tell. I can see there's a difference in you. God's been working in your life. God is at work. He's doing it today. Be encouraged that when you come to Christ, you are marked with the Holy Spirit, who will be at work in your life and through your life in extraordinary ways, ways that you won't always see. So we can say that God is pleased to live in us and through us, through Jesus, where we find forgiveness and we find rest because he chose to do this and therefore he chose me. I don't need to earn it. I just need to believe it. So going back to the former Artemis worshipper who came to the church in Ephesus, well, what do I do now then, they might say. If I've just got to believe it, what do I do now? And this is the final part of our sentence. We've gone from in Christ, chosen. What does it mean? What does it mean for me to be chosen in Christ? And to answer this, let's think about a very simple phrase, three words that Jesus says in John 15. Jesus says these three simple words. Remain in me. Let's do this. Let's say, remain in me. You ready? Remain in me. Remain in me. That's Jesus' command. Remain in me. Remain in relationship with me. Or we might rephrase this as stay friends with God. Stay friends with him. What are we doing to stay friends with God today, church? We know the things that we do to stay friends with each other, don't we? There's communication, there's loyalty, there's kindness, there's listening. Do we do this with God? We must continually remind ourselves that the whole point of being a Christian is being in relationship with God as our heavenly dad. People in this world will tell you that the whole point of life is to enjoy it. But the Christian says the whole point of life is to find joy in God.
Amen. Amen.
Jesus says, remain in me. Let's do that. Let's stay friends with God and let's find joy in him. He's chosen us. Let's respond by remaining in him. And Jesus says that if we remain in him, then something amazing will happen. He promises it, utterly promises it. He says in John 15, verse 5, he says, if you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Yes, fruit. And later on in verse 16, he says, here's this chosen language again. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. Isn't that amazing? Fruit that will last. So what is fruit? You know, some people are just thinking of apples and oranges at the moment. You know, I mean, I like those, but really? You know, apples and oranges that last forever sounds quite nice, but really? Well, in the Bible, fruit is associated with righteousness.
Amen.
Okay, righteousness. That means behaving in godly ways.
Amen.
It doesn't mean, listen, I love leading people to Jesus so much. It's the best thing in the world. It really is. But fruit does not mean that. It does not mean how many people you win for Jesus. There is no tally chart.
Yeah, that's the truth.
Don't be a capitalist in your faith.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
There are loads of scriptures I could point to, like Psalm 1, Jeremiah 17, Isaiah 32. In Mark 11, Jesus curses a fig tree,
yeah,
making it fruitless as a sign of saying the temple in Jerusalem is not being fruitful. And in Galatians 5 is the best example of this. Paul calls it the fruit of the Spirit.
Yeah.
The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. And back to our passage we're looking at today in Ephesians 2 verse 10, later on it says, we are God's handiwork, created, here's that language, in Christ to do good works.
Yeah.
And that word good in the Bible is always associated with God. So we could call that godly works.
Yeah.
And it all comes, how? From remaining in Jesus.
Yeah.
Faith is the root.
Yeah.
Works are the fruit.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's Jesus that makes us fruitful. It's about being in right relationship with Jesus. Jesus promises us that we will be fruitful if you remain in him. I know so many Christians who feel guilty. I'm just not doing enough. You know, I've seen no one come to Christ. I just feel like I'm useless with God. Do you know what you should say to them? Remain in Jesus. It's not you. It's not through you. It's only through Jesus. It's remaining in him. He promises it. It's a promise to us. And some people might say, oh, well, anyone could do a nice thing or a good thing. I don't need Jesus for that. But what does Jesus say? Fruit that lasts. There's the difference. There's the difference. When we're in relationship with God, God builds our character and produces in us good works that, yeah, some people might think are meaningless. Or maybe you might think, oh, it's just a small act of obedience, but fruit that lasts forever. I'll never forget. Do you know the way that Billy Graham became a Christian? Someone asked him, he's a great evangelist, he won millions for Christ. Someone asked him if they would drive them to a Christian conference. And then when they got there, he got out of the car and went in and gave his life to Jesus. Always think of that guy who invited Billy Graham to drive their van. Wow! A small act of obedience that produced great fruit that lasted, right? Don't doubt the small things that God calls you to do.
That's right.
So as we come into land, let's just remind ourselves, God is pleased to live in and with us through Jesus, where we find forgiveness and rest. He chose to do this. He chose me. He chose us. I don't need to earn it. I just need to believe it and trust in the work of the Holy Spirit in my life. This is the message today. When you're going home over lunch and you're talking about what on earth that guy said at the front today, this is the message today. You can say it with me. I am chosen.
In Christ.
For relationship and fruitfulness. Can I just invite the worship team to come forward, and can I invite you to stand with me? Because it might be that some of us today, we want to be friends with God. Maybe we've never thought of our faith like that before. And maybe some of us today, maybe you've never said, yeah, I'm friends with God. And maybe today you want to become friends with God. You want to become a Christian. You want to welcome Jesus into your heart. Or maybe you need to come back to him and you want to say, yeah, I want to be friends again with you, Jesus. And maybe some of you were like that person I was talking about earlier, who just, you long to be fruitful. This is a good desire. It's a good desire. You mustn't feel bad for wanting to be more fruitful. But Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Let Jesus today come and give you rest. Let the Holy Spirit come in. And maybe you just sense today that nudge from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes you just sense God just impressing himself upon you as if he wants to do something in you. And maybe you just want to open yourselves to the Holy Spirit to do whatever that work is. Maybe it's to clean up your habits. Maybe it's to instill a boldness. You know, when someone cold calls you and there's a boldness all of a sudden to share your faith with them, or in the street, in the supermarket, a boldness to share. Maybe God wants to instill a greater boldness today. And so if you just want to, we're just going to have a moment of silence, okay? We don't need anything else other than him. And I just encourage all of us here, whatever you think about this, whatever you're feeling, whether it's nothing or something, just to wait on God. And we pray, Holy Spirit, come. Holy Spirit, come. Lord, reassure us of our salvation, that you have chosen us. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Jesus says, I do not give as the world gives. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. Holy Spirit, I just pray for that shalom, that peace of God, to just rest on the hearts like a waterfall yes. to the hearts, washing us clean and refreshing us, Lord.
Thank you.
I pray, Lord, that guilt and shame would just wash away. Lord Jesus, you have chosen us. Not that we'd all be the same as each other. Not that we'd all be evangelists, and not that we'd all be preachers. Not that we'd all be administrators. But Lord, you've chosen us to be your child. Holy Spirit, come. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just if you haven't already, I just invite you to just open your arms out to God. This is a wonderful symbol of saying, God, I really have nothing. And I want to receive whatever it is you want to give me. Jesus says that the Father gives good gifts to his children. God is not going to give you something that's going to hurt you, that's going to hinder you. God wants to give you good things because he chooses you. He has chosen you. Nothing can change that.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources from Kingdom Faith and our other audio and video podcasts, please visit www.kingdomfaith.com.